you for joining us this morning. I hope you noticed our decorations on the stage here. I want to give a shout out to the Waller family and thank them for coming in the day after Thanksgiving and decorating everything. The reason we've decorated, friends, is because we are officially starting the Advent season. Now, for some of our viewers, I know this may not be a familiar term to you. This word Advent means coming or arrival. And I will share with you that the United Methodist Church is just one of several traditions within the Christian faith that celebrate the Advent season. Now, the focus of Advent is on the present Christian life and view of the culmination of all things at the return of Christ's second coming. So with that said, I want you to know that Advent has a twofold purpose. First, we celebrate the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus. And secondly, we remember the fulfillment of this promise of a Messiah as we anxiously await the return of Christ. Now, if you're interested, friends, I want to let you know you can find a plethora of information online about Advent and its role in church history. For instance, you would find things like the original Advent season ran from Christmas Eve to Epiphany, or what most of us would call the 12 days of Christmas. And the purpose of Advent was to serve as a season of preparation for baptismal candidates. Now, currently, we celebrate the season of Advent in the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And almost all church traditions that embrace Advent will spend the following weeks preaching sermons on and celebrating the characteristics of Christ. You know, those characteristics of hope, faith, joy, and peace. Now, the intent is to offer the worshiper a greater understanding of the birth of Christ and why Christ is the light unto the world. But that's not all. Also serves as a reminder of the character traits that we should possess as followers of Jesus. Now, I want you to know that we are going to go a little different route this Advent season here at Green Forest. And the motivation for the change comes from a book that a friend and colleague of mine authored titled, Watching from the Walls, Waiting for Jesus with Hope and Expectation. I know you can't see this, but it is an Advent study, not a sermon inspiring book, but a personal or group Bible study for those who would like to embrace the Advent story. In fact, Nathan, you have a picture, right? And the ISBN number. Can you put that up for everybody? And so, friends, the author of this book is, as I said, a colleague and a friend of mine by the name of Reverend Dr. Andrew Thompson, and he is the senior pastor of Springfield First United Methodist Church. So if you're ever in the Fayetteville, Springdale area, I recommend that you stop by Springdale First United Methodist Church and join them in worship. I promise you, you will be blessed. Again, is the picture still up? Thank you. If you're interested in this book for a personal Advent study, or you have a group that you're doing studies with through Zoom, or maybe a small group within a setting where you can socially distance, you can just go to Amazon and make your order. Thank you, Nathan, for leaving that up. Now, as I previously stated, the book is my primary motivation for our sermons leading up to Christmas. Andrew reminds us in his book that the Bible is the book that tells us of God's story with his people and how God wants to invite us into his story. So as I read the book, while I began it in Colorado while I was on vacation with my wife, and I ended up finishing the book during my quarantine due to COVID-19, I asked the Holy Spirit to lead me in ways that would help those who worship with us to find their way into the story of God. But I'll let you know, I do not intend to recapitulate the book through our sermon time together. So I want to encourage you to get the book and experience it authentically and firsthand for yourself. And while we will focus on some common themes within the book, I shouldn't say themes, but common characters in the book, we will attempt to determine if their participation or situation helps you and I to find ourselves in the story of God that is continuing to unfold before us. So we're going to start this morning by looking in the Gospel of Luke at the person of Mary. So Nathan, if you would you please put our scriptures on the screen? And all of you at home, I want to ask you to join me as we read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Verse 26 begins saying, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' So Mary asked the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' And Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." It is our tradition to conclude each reading by saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God." And everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Lord, we do come today and we do look at your word. And I do ask, God, that you help us to find our place in Mary's story this morning. To help us find our place in your story. To help us have a fresh anointing and an understanding of our purpose, passion, and pursuit of living a faithful, fruitful witness for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Now, I know many of you who are watching, these are very common verses with which you have had been blessed, I should say, to hear many sermons or multiple sermons on. But how does this story of a young girl who is pregnant or about to become pregnant invite you into the story of God? Well, you know, to answer that question, I believe we must go deeper than the factual aspects and characterizations of the story. For example, if you're a male this morning, well, then you're going to have to get past the gender tag. And if you're elderly this morning, then you must move past the generational gap. If you're unable to have children, then one must move past the narrative of childbirth. Now, please, don't cast me as a heretic in any way today. I'm only, no way am I trying to discredit or minimize the miraculous story of God becoming human to offer salvation to all of creation. What I am trying to do is to encourage us, regardless of our situation, to see how these verses invite us into the story of God and God into our story. So let's begin our journey together by thinking about these verses more in relation to circumstance than in character portrayal. So what I mean is this. Let us change the focus of the narrative by asking ourselves one simple question. Have you ever found yourself in a situation beyond your control? You know, the story of God in your life will often go beyond the gift of choice. Many who are joining us today are confronted with circumstances which you did not have the freedom to choose, but are forced to deal with. And I think Mary, the mother of God, can relate. Now, understanding that, I would say that one of the greatest challenges of life is to become too absorbed by the immediate circumstances we face. And when our vision of life is singularly focused on the circumstances with which we cannot control, well, I can tell you as a pastor, I've seen that often it leads to tragic outcomes, tragic consequences. Now, I know in my own personal life, when I have been faced with circumstances beyond my control, I usually experience things like intimidation, anxiety, even fear. I know others, friends, who suffer with the temptation of self-absorption that struggle with despair and cynicism. But the story of Christmas, my friends, is just the opposite. The life of Mary portrays that when you and I are faced with circumstances beyond our control, that is often exactly the time when God is on the brink of doing something miraculous in us and through us. I know that perhaps sounds like a cliche. It may even sound a bit scandalous, especially if you're watching this morning and the situation beyond your control is one of tragedy. But we cannot deny that Mary's situation encompasses all of the initial harshness of the unexpected. Remember, in the beginning of her situation beyond her control, it offered possible tragedy on many levels, even the threat of loss of life. Yet with God in her story, we see what God does to folks and with folks that fit this criterion, to folks and with folks, when God offers such a challenge. We see that He brings about transformation as well as continuously reveals His ability to make the impossible a reality. So what I'd like for us to take from our scriptural account this morning is this. Each situation beyond one's control is a barometer of our faith. And even though the circumstances may be beyond our freedom of choice, we can still exert choice in our response. And we see that truth in the way that Mary exercised this freedom, which is recorded in verse 28, or 38, where it says, or she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." You know, I said I wasn't going to recapitulate, and I won't, but I will share with you that Andrew, in this book, he writes, he doesn't know whether God chose Mary because of the kind of character that she had on the front end, or whether her character was forged through the experience of receiving God's favor and having to respond with complete trust and commitment. I would argue that both are true. In fact, I believe that God allows each of us to encounter specific circumstances beyond our control because He knows the character we have within and the character He is seeking to forge through our trust and commitment. As one rabbi wrote, to use current language, he says, "We're in a guaranteed contribution plan, not a guaranteed benefit plan." I like that quote because it reminds me that God is always looking to be more involved in our story than we give Him credit. I would even go as far as to say this morning, friends, that God yearns to be more instrumental within our lives than we are comfortable allowing. And I would suggest that there is something about Mary's story that should bring enthusiasm to each of us. Because our days of dealing with circumstances beyond our control are far from over. Yet the God that we are worshiping this morning knows the end right from the beginning. And God has always been faithful to provide for creation. He creates, provides, and directs each one of our paths. So whatever circumstance you may find yourself in this morning, I want you to know this is not a path that God has left for you to journey alone. God always, and hear me friends, God always gives clues of His direction and provides warning for each pitfall. Are they always easy to see? Well, they're not always easy to see for Michael Bolin. But I do know that being part of God's story will demand of me to walk in faith. And while I believe that Holy Scripture has given me the big picture of God, it has not shared with me a detailed blueprint of how my life will contribute. I just know that it will require faith, even when the circumstances are beyond my control. I'll close with reminding each of us that faith is not believing something you have no reason to believe in. I'll even go as far as to say that faith is more, much more, than trusting that what you want God to do is going to happen. Faith is not even a feeling we get. Rather, faith is ultimately a choice. It is a decision to trust God and God's truth, even when it's really hard to do. God's plans always, always involve every possible eventuality. The challenge before us is to trust this truth and to trust God's plan. Mary did. And look how it turned out for her. I mean, she has become such an intricate part of God's story to humanity and humanity's story with God. And friends, I know that Mary and her story are unique, but they are not exclusive. God wants His story to live within us, and His story, and our story, excuse me, to live within His. So today, if you identify with Mary's story, then what revelation is God wanting you to grasp this morning? Whatever it is, if you'll grab hold of it, I promise you, it will change your life forever. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.